Hello, so I'm Ifna Ajibi. I'm an MD PhD student at the Department of Population Health Sciences at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And today I'm going to be talking about receipt of asthma self-management education in adults with asthma. So I have no relationships to disclose. So a little bit about asthma in the United States. So 1 in 12 adults in the U.S. have asthma, and uncontrolled asthma is associated with burden for both the individual and the healthcare system. So every year, uncontrolled asthma is associated with, a bunch of missed days, a lot of missed days of work for adults with asthma, emergency department visits, asthma-related hospitalizations, and $19.7 billion per year in direct medical costs due to asthma, and also indirect costs due to sort of loss of productivity in work. And so the purpose of the study is really to understand, or is really to determine ways in which people can control their asthma better. And one of the ways that has been proposed has been getting asthma management plans or asthma action plans. So current guidelines for the diagnosis and management of asthma say that all adults with asthma should be given a written asthma action plan. And the plan should have components of asthma self-management education, including teaching and reinforcing early signs and symptoms of an asthma episode, how to respond to an episode of asthma, potential environmental exposure control measures that people can take, and how to use their inhaler. So this is one example of an asthma action plan or an asthma self-management plan. So you can see here, it really focuses on sort of how people feel and what they should be doing when they feel a certain way. So if you feel like you have difficulty breathing, coughing, wheezing, this is the medications you should be taking, this is who you should be calling. And so that's really an aid to help people understand how to control their asthma. So I'm really interested in two questions. So the first one is, who's really receiving these asthma management plans? It's guideline indicated, but who's receiving them? And how do sociodemographic access and need factors, how those factors are associated with the receipt of an asthma management plan? And then also the second question is, for individuals who are receiving a plan, is it really effective? Like, is it saying what it, does the plan include all the things that guidelines indicate that self-management education should include? So I will be walking through both of those questions today. So the data source that I use to answer this question is the National Health Interview Survey. And the great thing about this is it's a population-based household survey, and so I'm able to get national estimates of all adults with asthma in the U.S. And so I used the years 2003 and 2008. And the sample includes all adults years 18 and older with self-reported diagnosis of asthma or who had an asthma attack or episode in the past year. And so that's about 3,500 adults when you pool both of the years together. So for the first question, I'm looking at factors that are associated with the receipt of an asthma management plan. And so the outcome measure for that is this question. So they say, an asthma management plan is a printed form that tells you want to change the amount or type of medicine, when to call the doctor for advice, and when to go to the emergency room. Has a doctor or other health professional ever given you an asthma management plan? And so the predictors of interest I'm looking at are based on the Anderson Behavioral Model of Healthcare Utilization. So I'm looking at a number of predisposing, enabling, and need factors that I hypothesize might be associated with the receipt of an asthma management plan. And so for the analysis I did descriptive statistics, I will be showing you some of those, and then, I will mainly be showing the multivariable logistic regression. So I'm modeling the odds of receipt of an asthma management plan. And so this is just a graph showing the percentages of adults who had ever received an asthma management plan in years 2003 and 2008. So the yellow is the percentage of adults who said that they received an asthma management plan. So in the year 2003, it was 32.8%. In the year 2008, it was close to 30% of adults. And so you can see right there, there's a gap between guidelines and what's actually happening in usual practice. And so now I'm going to be showing you the adjusted odds ratios for, so all of these charts are modeling for the receipt of an asthma management plan. And just to orient you, the horizontal line is one, and so if it crosses the line, then it's not statistically significant at the p equals 0.05 level, but if it doesn't cross, then that means that there is a significant association. And so for this one, I'm looking at the association of race and ethnicity with receipt of an asthma management plan, adjusting for all of the covariates that I showed, and the reference is white non-Hispanics. And so you can see here that African Americans are actually more likely to report receiving an asthma management plan compared to non-Hispanic whites. And Hispanics, there's no significant difference between Hispanics and non-Hispanic whites. So when we're looking at educational attainment and association with educational attainment and receipt of an asthma plan, you can see that individuals who reported that they have high school, who've attained a level of education that's high school or lower, have not are less likely to receive an asthma management plan than compared to people who have had education of college or greater. And to me that, and you can see sort of the trend, and so that suggests that there might be differences in receipt of plan by level of education. So looking at some need factors, so here the reference is people who have never used either preventative medication or quick relief medication to control their asthma. And so this to me is a little bit encouraging, because you can see that people who have either previously or currently used both preventative medication or quick relief inhaler are more likely to receive a plan, which is encouraging, because you should hope that they would have a plan, talk to their physician or their healthcare provider about how to properly use those medications. So here, looking at health insurance status, you can see that people who are uninsured are far less likely to receive a plan compared to those with private insurance, which is unsurprising. A surprising thing here, so we asked, looked at people who ever smoked compared to people who never smoked, and people who had ever smoked were less likely to receive an asthma plan, and so that sort of begs the question, why? So one thing that we really wanted to look at is healthcare utilization due to asthma and associated receipt of a plan. And so the reference here is people who have had no asthma attack in the prior 12 months. And so people who, compared to people who have never had, who have not had an asthma attack in the past 12 months, people who had an asthma attack, the first column, are not more likely to receive a plan. And compared to people who did not have an asthma attack in the last 12 months, people who had an asthma attack and had to visit the emergency department are not statistically significantly more likely to receive a plan. The only difference is people who were hospitalized that actually reached statistical significance. And so, the second question was discussed in this research was whether receipt of a plan was actually associated with sort of the guideline indicated educational components. So the gray bar is overall, the black bar is in individuals who have received the plan, and the white bar is individuals who have not received the plan. So you can see here, and each of these sections are components of asthma education that guidelines say that all adults should be getting. So you can see here, for people who've been taught to use an inhaler, it's very high among all adults who've received a plan, so that's good and it's encouraging. In terms of monitoring peak flow, you can see that 75% of adults who received a plan say, yes, I was taught how to do that, and 27% of adults who did not receive a plan said that they were taught. So you can see that plan is associated with it, but despite the plan, there's 25% of adults who received a plan who were not taught how to monitor peak flow. So that's interesting, because that's not in guidelines. And so you can see the same association for recognizing early signs of asthma episode. Adults who've received a plan are far more likely to say that, yes, I was taught how to do that, than adults who did not receive a plan. And this relationship continues. In terms of adults who say, yes, I was taught how to respond to an asthma episode, the percentage of adults who have said that they were taught to respond to an asthma episode and to change the environment are both higher in adults who had received a plan compared to adults who did not receive a plan. So some key findings. So there are some predisposing, enabling, and need characteristics that are associated with the receipt of an asthma management plan. So first of all, race, ethnicity, we saw that African Americans were more likely to report a receipt of an asthma management plan. I'm not going to be presenting this analysis now, but we did a subgroup analysis in just adults who had more severe asthma, and we actually saw that Hispanics were less likely to report receiving a plan adjusting for a number of covariates. And then we also see that educational attainment plays a role in whether or not someone says that they ever got an asthma plan. So enabling characteristics that were important were health insurance status and healthcare utilization due to asthma. So people who were uninsured were far less likely to report receiving an asthma plan, which is not surprising. The one that is troubling, to me at least, is that for people who had an asthma attack in the last 12 months or people who had to actually go to the emergency department for due to an asthma attack, they weren't more likely to receive a plan. And then some need characteristics that were associated were use of asthma medications, and smokers were actually less likely to receive an asthma plan. And then in terms of receipt of the asthma self-management education, people who received the plan were significantly more likely to receive all of those educational measures, despite that there remains room for improvement in the effectiveness of the plans in educating patients, because not everyone with the plan was receiving all of the components of education. So some limitations of the study. So this was all self-report of both the predictors of interest and the outcome of interest. And so there could be some measurement error in that. And also there is potential residual confounding because we just couldn't the survey didn't ask certain things that we would have been interested in looking at in our analysis. Particularly, there was no indicator of specialty care. And as you can imagine, people who are seeing a specialist for the asthma care are probably more likely to receive a plan. And also, we weren't able to determine their age at diagnosis and also when they received an asthma management plan. The strengths of the study, this is a nationally representative sample, and so it gets a good snapshot of the gap between guideline-indicated care and usual care in adults with asthma. And we were able to use 2 survey years, and we're able to characterize gaps in care and potentially the quality of asthma management plans. So I would like to acknowledge my co-authors, Dr. Elizabeth Jacobs and Dr. Lauren Wisk, and my funding. And thank you. And any questions?
Mm-hmm. The leftmost part, is that either rescue or preventive, or is that one or the other?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So we broke it into separate categories. So the reference was never used either a rescue inhaler, like a quick relief rescue inhaler, or a preventative inhaler, and then these separate categories. And so you can see people who've used either previously used preventative medication or inhaler or currently use are more likely to receive a plan.
Okay. I think it was maybe the next slide that I have a question now. Okay.
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
Did you find any difference across years?
Yeah. So we did find differences across years, with 2008 actually being people were worse than 2003, which was kind of disappointing. But then I also tested it in reactions to see if that difference was different by subgroups, and it was pretty consistent that everyone just reduced. It wasn't any particular subgroup that reduced.
Thank you.